The first education was in that one-room schoolhouse for you.
Well, no, because we moved from Tulsa, the site now of OSU. On the hillside, there's an apartment complex. And on that hill was where our home was, in the convent. It's now changed in character. And I was there from my kindergarten years to my third grade. And then my fourth, fifth, and sixth grades were at this one-room
schoolhouse. In El Suma.
In El Suma.
Then you attended beyond that school.
I left there and went to Carver. We were bused. I would take the bus on occasion or ride with my dad to Carver Junior High School. Then from there, I went to Washington. I spent 1 year at Booker T. Washington, and I wanted to leave there because I didn't think I was getting the same quality of education as my white counterparts. By this time, I was associated with a summer group of kids, integrated group, and we discussed books and public affairs. Central, Webster, and Booker T. Washington were the only three schools at that time in the city. Well, Rogers may have existed as well. And those kids from Central seemed to be much brighter than I was. And yet I was making A's. I was an honor student. But they just seemed to know more. In fact, I remember I had an English teacher, and one of our assignments was to commit to memory Thanatopsis. And I was able to do that. She gave me an A. I thought that was an adequate, my own assessment. So I asked my mother if I could go elsewhere. So my aunt, her sister, who at that time had been administrative aide to Adlai Stevenson when he was running for the presidency, opened her doors, and my aunt lived with my grant with her mother. So they let me come there, and I entered into a Catholic high school, preparatory school there in Springfield. That's when I got reconnected with the Catholic faith.
That first year at Booker T., what year was that you were in school?
That would have been just the year before the Supreme Court. So that would have been 54, 55. I think okay. 54, 55.
Let's go back also to your early years, because you referred to the accident which took your arm.
Right.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Generally, when people ask about it, if it's a young kid, my lead-in is I disobeyed my parents, which, of course, leads to a puzzlement. But as I told you, we lived on a 160-acre farm with cows and horses and geese and guineas and ducks. My dad, on that 160 acres, he farmed 80 of it on occasion for wheat and corn. And he had his own garden in our yard as well. We had three ponds on the place. Anyway, one day, a playmate of mine who lived in El Suma came up to my home around 5 o'clock in the evening with his own horse. You can't imagine how excited I was that my friend would have a horse. He came up, and he had contrived this bridle out of rope and baling wire with no cup chain. When he steals away, and of course, this is dinner time, I'm excited. So I saddle up my horse, which is a Tennessee walking horse at the time, and we steal out of the yard while everybody else is at the dinner table. And I guess half a mile away, we're down into the village of El Suma. Both of the horses were racing one another, and I couldn't stop the horse I was riding because it didn't have the proper gear.
How old are you now?
Approaching 9 years old. I'm within 2 or 3 months of being nine. And the train's coming, Katy Railroad. Well, there was a little side stop, maybe a couple of blocks away. And so it was not speeding. It had just stopped and was pulling off, maybe going 20 miles an hour, possibly. I have no independent recollection. I'm surmising that. Not knowing the laws of physics, I'm jumping off because I'm coming head on. I'm thinking I'm going to hit the train with the horse. I jump off. Well, rather than falling backwards, I'm propelled with the speed of the horse. My head hits the railing of the track. I'm out like a light. I do remember my descent from the horse jumping off, and my head hit the track. But rather than being perpendicular to the track, I fall in the center of the track between the two rails. And the train runs over me. I'm told it had a hook underneath that swung back and forth. And I remember I had this T-shirt with white and red stripes that were lateral. The hook took the shirt, I guess it was loose enough, and caught a hold of it and dragged me 50, 60, 70, 80 feet before the train came to a stop. I'm, of course, out like a light at this point in time. I'm told the engineers had given me up because blood is gushing everywhere. Two men come by, one whose dad was an insurance salesman, knocked door to door selling penny policies, and there had to be some other person, Ali had learned. They pulled me from under the track. apply a tourniquet to me. The sheriff's office comes and picks me up, and I remember distinctly my mother. Here I'm out like a light, but my memory now serves me many years later. I remember being in her lap with my head in her lap, and I remember her praying. I don't know if she was shedding tears, but I do remember vaguely, you know, like you're in a daze. My head is the size of a football at the time. I later learned that I'm delivered to one of the hospitals, either Hillcrest or St. John's, I don't know which. And I was refused admittance. They then took me to Mercy Hospital, which was owned by Dr. Sisler. That's where I was able to be treated. I do remember that story, but my mother, they never made a big point of it. Nor was there any litigation ever about me and the train, because my father felt I was at fault, of course. My older brother's recollection of the event was, he was just about to put a piece of pie in his mouth and someone comes in and says, Jimmy has been hit by a train, or words to that effect. His reaction was, I don't think he used the D word, but something like that came out of his mouth. And it was not regretting the fact that I had an accident, but it was regretting the fact that he could not finish his pie. He tells me. But I do remember my mother running down there a quarter of a mile barefooted. I do remember that story being told me.
This is in the
1948-49,
and we point that out because it was because of your race that you were rejected at that hospital.
Correct.
Your life could have been lost because of that. Well, they didn't know that when they turned you away.
Right. I know I woke up maybe 2 or 3 weeks later. I was in a coma. I say a coma. I was not aware of what was going on for many days. My classmates sent me a big box of plastic toys. There was a hamburger stand not far from my dad's office. They would bring me the hamburgers, which I loved. I just relished the idea of being treated. In fact, I told my dad, if I didn't get a pneumonia, I might die of them. At that time, Roy Rogers was my idol. My father had us working, my brother and I working. I must have been 6 years old, cleaning the presses, the metal on the presses that the rubber rolls would rub against and the paper would go through. I had to be 6 years old, and my grandpa was also a taskmaster. By this time, my dad owned the paper and the press and all of this stuff that went with it. And I remember having to sweep up these metal shavings that would be a part of the metal letters that would be printed out that then were put in for the printing of the paper. And the ink around the linotype machines seems like it was forever to clean those. They had to be almost swept clean and not a trace of anything. I remember that being an arduous task for me, but the most exasperating task was cleaning those metal rollers. They had to be spit clean, but I would use gasoline, as I recall, or kerosene to rub the ink off those metal rollers. The more I wiped, the more smears would come back and forth, back and forth. I mean, even to the point of tears. And my grandpa would come by, you didn't do it, come over here, son, and get this. Well, that activity would probably take 2 hours, 2.5 hours on Saturday morning, for which I earned the grand total of 30 cents. 20 cents for the movies and 10 cents for popcorn. That was an assignment of mine at that young age. And right down the street, this is in the Black Wall Street, was the Dreamland Theater. My friend and I would go in and enjoy an afternoon on Saturday with popcorn in hand. Roy Rogers. So I grew up wanting Palomino ponies, you know, and for today I still have that. Anyway, that was the work ethic that both my grandpa and my father instilled in me.